Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Lighthouse Team Ministries radio program, The Apostles' Doctrine, here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pastor Kenny Powers, in here with Pastor KD Tony, and we meet every day at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can reach us by phone by calling 646-915-9559, or listening live on the internet using Blog Talk Radio. If you subscribe to our channel, so go to blogtalkradio.com/The Apostles' Doctrine and scroll down to the bottom and input your email address and hit subscribe, and you'll get an email from us and you can pick up our next recording and a live church service. You can reach us at facebook.com/Lighthouse Team Ministries. Also, we teach the Apostles' Doctrine just as Jesus taught the Apostles. We teach you. You can go to our website, lhtm.org, find out more about us there. And if you want to partner with us and make us your church, you can send in your tithes by clicking on the PayPal button. It is a secure way to send money. All right. God bless you all, and thank you for calling, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our minds and our hearts, Father, to be receptive unto this your word, so that we can grow, Father, in knowledge, in wisdom, and in faith, so that we can stand, Father, clothed as we should be clothed. Now, Father, we're asking you to be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we're asking this in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to be talking to you this evening, mainly from Romans chapter 4. I've got a question for you. How are you standing clothed this evening? Are you clothed as you should be? And do you even know how that you should be clothed? You know, there's a lot of things that we need to bring forth from the Old Testament into the New, because it was given not only to them, but also to us. And a lot of things that was given to their prophets was for our day and time, and not even theirs. They was given a lot of things in prophecy that they never seen come about. But here in Isaiah chapter 61, in verse 9, we'll start with that, because I want to keep everything in the setting that it should be in. But we're going to find out how we should be clothed. And it's also letting us know, that it was meant for you and I today, not just in Abraham's day and Isaiah's day, but also for ours. Verse 9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of righteousness. Are you standing today clothed in the garments of salvation? Think about it. Because most are not. In fact, most are far, far from it. And he goes on now here, and he says, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So we are to be clothed with the garments of salvation, and also covered with the robe of righteousness. In other words, we should be walking upright in the Spirit and in the Lord Jesus Christ, with him in us. And he goes on now down here, and he says, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That's not just for the Jewish people, as he let us know there, because he was talking about the Gentiles also. Now here, in this fourth chapter now of Romans, not only is he dealing here with you and I, but he's letting us know where it all began. And it began back in the old biblical days with Abraham. and him being justified. Now, God was justifying Abraham even before the law. You see, God moves in his way, his will, in whatever time he wanted to walk in. But he is expecting you and I to walk according to our day and time and to be walking clothed with salvation and righteousness so that we can walk with his power in our lives, working through us to reach this lost and dying world. But now we need to be reaching our own nation, because the way things are going, we are losing our nation and we are losing our freedom to worship the Lord God in the way we should be worshiping him. So let's begin here with verse 1 of chapter 4. And he says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? When we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, how was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of us all, of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now as we come back here to the beginning and we take a look at things with this first verse, first couple of verses, actually, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, all of us that have been in the Word of God for any length of time and have read through this holy book that we call the Bible, most of us know the story about Abraham and how God came to him and promised him a son when he was well past the age of childbearing. And so was his wife Sarah. But you see, Abraham didn't doubt. Now, we know that there were some things that had taken place there that should not have happened, really. But it wasn't because Abraham's faith was so weak that he didn't believe that God would do what he told him he'd do. But he was fighting time, Abraham was. God just wasn't doing what he told him he was going to do fast enough to satisfy Abraham, nor his wife either. And we know what a lot of selfishness will do and pride, just as it was about to work with Abraham and Sarah. Because they didn't think that God was working fast enough with his promise. They needed to help him out. So Sarah gave her maid to Abraham to bring forth the child, because she had not yet conceived. We know that that was not the child that God promised Abraham. And the seed of that child is still causing you and I trouble today. A lot of trouble in the world. That seed. But because Abraham did have faith that God was going to keep his promise, we all know that God did and gave him Isaac, just as he had promised him. And it was because of his faith being strong enough to accept God's promise is why God made him the father of us all. All that walk in faith. That means you and I even today. If we stand in faith of Almighty God, Abraham is considered to be one of our forefathers. Not blood-wise, but faith-wise. And not only does he give us these things in the scripture, he also in here tells you and I about who all will receive this, this blessedness, this righteousness. You see, because as we're told here now in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God will call you and I and all mankind that he calls when we are still walking in sin. We're not worthy. He didn't call us because we were worthy. But he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And he knows what we will do even though we don't. He knows if we will stand or if we are going to fall. He knows. We don't. But he does. He knows which one of us will walk in salvation. And those that will walk where he calls them and puts them, he sanctifies and he justifies them. And he puts them and covers them with that robe of righteousness so that we don't have to worry about anything in this world that will come against us. Now, are all things pleasant? No. We know they are things that will come against you and I that are not pleasant to go through. But we also know that we don't have to go through it by ourselves. He's always there with us to go through it with us. And when we come out the other side, we're always a little bit stronger than we was when we went in. But you know, our time is growing short. Shorter with each passing day now. Until the Lord is going to be coming for his church. We don't know what time. We don't know what day, what week, what month, what year. But we do know that it is close. Because he gave us things to watch for that we are seeing at work right today. And he has gave us some things we have seen that has already happened and passed. So we know the time for the return of Jesus to come for his church and to stop this church age is quickly coming to a close. We don't have much time. And we need to all be at work to do everything we can to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to share this word with others, to help them to walk from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in 6, he says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You see, we can't really work to obtain righteousness. We have works because of the righteousness that God has already given to us and our salvation. We can't work for either one of those. They are gifts to you and I from the Lord our God. They come through His Son. They are brought to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God for us to use to help others in this life to find life eternally. But so many today are being deceived and missing out on that blessing. 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We know that when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask Him for the forgiveness of our sins, that we want Him in our life, and we don't want the ways of this world anymore. We want to belong totally to Him. We know He will forgive our past sins. They are covered by His blood. And He begins then to move us in the direction we need to go in order to be what the Father wants us to be. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He will be our judge. But we're not really saved just for Him. He came to this earth to die and make a way that for you and I to have salvation and to be able to make heaven our home, but mainly for the purpose of reconciling you and I back to the Father. So many people today don't understand the love of Almighty God and the extent of it, just how deep it does reach and how strong it is. His love is strong enough not only to save us, but to save those that we love, to save those that are around us, and to carry on the work that needs to be done so that the Lord Jesus Christ can come back and find His church ready. Now, verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Well, this blessing of the Lord God, salvation, the infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our day and time works with both. It will work with those that are circumcised, but it also will work for you and I that are not. Because you see, the Jews, His chosen people, the people that rejected Him, the people that crucified Him, they had to be circumcised. But when He brought salvation to the Gentile nations, They were not commanded to be circumcised. And most of them were. So it was working with both. And that's what he's letting us know here. Now, here in verse 9, the ending of it says, "For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." And we know that. It was because of his faith that he received that righteousness of Almighty God that made him the father of all that walk in faith. 10. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision? But you see, Abraham probably, from what we read, probably was not circumcised. Because his day and time was before the law was given to Moses. Now, we do know that God works in mysterious ways. We all know that. And we are not to tell him how quickly to work or how to go about his work. A lot of us won't do it, don't we? Lord, I want that right now. Lord, you know, I don't feel good, and I need healing, and I need it now, Lord. And you can bring it to me, Father, this way. You can bring it to me while I'm here. No. He'll bring it when it's the best time. And when we understand what is happening and even why he did it. Now, verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. The word tells us that he was uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Letting us know we don't have to be circumcised to receive righteousness today. And we know that was stopped at the very beginning of the church age. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father, Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. We are to walk in strong faith because we are servants and instruments to be used by the hand of Almighty God to do the work he needs done in this world today, to reach those that will accept him and will become part of the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back for his church. Now, 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He's working with Abraham like he works with you and I today, and that was even before he gave mankind the law, before it was given to Moses. And yet he was working with Abraham as he works with you and I. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void You see, that's why things changed. Because the law makes faith void. They're not dependent on anything other than keeping that law. And we know they didn't even do that well. And the promise made of none effect, because they wouldn't keep it. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Think about it, what he's actually telling us there. That there is no transgression where there's no law. Because you see, there was a period of time here with mankind that God wasn't imputing sin on him, because the law hadn't been given. But once the law had been given, then mankind as a whole become to know what they were supposed to do and not supposed to do. And now we have God's law for you and I today that is written in this book we call the Holy Bible, that tells us how to walk upright, how to walk in faith, how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that we need to do in order to obtain the promises that God made to us, to you and I, for our day and time, so that we can make heaven our home. And you know, the thing about that, we can know while we are here on this earth how we stand. In fact, we're told in the scripture that unless we know we have salvation, we don't have it. Does that mean that just because I proclaim that I got salvation, that, oh, I've got it? No. But you will know how you are walking with God. There's none of us that can stand today and say, we don't know whether we are walking with God right or wrong. Even those that are lost, that's out here in this world, that's wanting to stay in the world and partake of it, they know that a lot of things they are doing is against the laws of God. But yet, they choose to do it anyway. They know murder is against God, being done every day. They know adultery is against God, being done every day, even in our churches. They know killing these unborn babies is against God, but we're doing it by the thousands daily. They know. But yet, they will not live according to what God has told them. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. This promise is made to all of God's children, and all that he has promised, you can have. Now, we have to reach out and accept it. We have to choose to want it. And we have to stay in God's word so we can grow and be strong enough to accept it and to start doing what God will call upon us to do. Now, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We're being told he's the father of us all of us that walk in faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Wasn't just to the Jewish people that he was the father of those walking in faith. It was to all nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. And that's things that you and I have to do today. God will call upon us to do something. And if he calls upon you to lay hands on someone that is sick, that he is going to heal them, when you lay your hands upon them, you're calling something into being that's not there at that time. But you're calling it into being. And when you do that, you will see it work. Now, it may work at that very moment, and it may be a little later, but it will work. And you will know that it did work. Because somebody's going to let you know. Somebody's going to be shouting and praising the Lord. Now, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham believed God and knew that what God was telling him was so and would come about. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at us today. Most men's body is dead a little past 50. That's where childbearing goes. And most women, the womb is dead. And here, he wasn't believing that he was too old, nor Sarah neither. And he goes on to tell us, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's another thing we don't do enough of today. We don't give him thanks. We don't give him glory. We don't give him praise for everything that we have. Our next breath, we would not get if God didn't let us have it. We couldn't take it if it wasn't given to us by God. Now, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So many of us today are not believing that what God promised us, he is not only able to perform it, but will do it, and is doing it every day somewhere. But we have that doubt. We had these buts, these ifs, which we should get rid of out of most of all of our conversations. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see, if we will live by this word and accept that infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, we are then walking in garments of salvation and covered by the robe of righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. God's letting you and I know it wasn't written just for Abraham's sake alone. That it was imputed to him, but for us also. And the apostle is writing this book. So it was for his day, and it carried forth into our day. Because it was brought into the days of the church. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So where is your belief today? Is it in the one that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have you still got your belief out here on things of this world? If it's on things of this world, you better get that out of your mind, out of your heart, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get right with him, and you'll find out that all of the promises of God is available to you. And you can walk upright, clothed with salvation, righteousness, serve the living God, and make heaven your home. And we'll close with this next verse. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Raised again for our justification. You see, when God deals with us, it should be no man can come against us. And can't if we choose to walk with the Lord God. And if we really bring him, the Holy Spirit, into our lives, and we take this word of Almighty God, we study, we meditate upon it, we hide it in our hearts, and we bring it forth through our lives to make it a living word, we don't have to fear nothing or no one. We just walk in fear of what God can do to us if we don't walk with him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, for Israel, we know, Father, that they're not living in peace, Father. A lot of things are going on there, Father, from the outside world that should not be going on. Father, we're praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And help this land of ours, Father, a land that has turned and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place where he was, not wanting his name mentioned in prayer or nowhere, in no way. And our leadership, Father, has turned its back upon Israel instead of standing with it. And we know, Father, that your word has told us that those that will not stand with Israel will be cursed. Father, help us to remove those from office that's against the church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against Israel, and help us to replace them with those, Father, that will walk according to your will and your way, and help us to bring this land of ours to repentance so that it can be saved. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as these names are called, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch each one of them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas. For Amy's husband Tom, Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, this young man, Father, be with him, use him in great and mighty ways among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, Father, he is standing in need of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forth, speak that healing to him, bring about that healing power, make him whole, and use him, Father, in great and mighty ways. For Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, Father, we lift them up. May they walk with you. Our brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, these men that come from different walks of life, but Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind and one accord, that being in Jesus. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, Brother Meade County General Baptist Church. And Father, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, I pray that they are walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to guide these churches and along that pathway of righteousness and take them to where you want them to go. This young man, Will, that has been ordained into the ministry, I pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher and he is the pastor you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost that's walking in darkness can go and find help and find the light, and that light being Jesus Christ. For our brother in Pakistan, Haroon Islam. For Barat Mishai. For Zephron Aru. Father, these pastors, use them in great and mighty ways in this land. Keep them safe. For we know, Father, they go into dangerous places. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for the Taylor family, for my wife's family, for my family. Father, we all have family members that are walking lost, walking in darkness. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to work within the families, Father. Turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can find their way to heaven. My Father, for Jimmy Embry, baby Jalay, for Sharon Monvillo and her wife, her mother, for Bill Richards, for Sue, for Palins, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, all of these stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father. Touch them in a mighty and great way so that with their healing they know that it was by your power, your might, that they are healed and not man. Father, now be with this church. Make it what you want it to be, Father. Lead us and guide us now, Father, as we have some choices coming up to make. Use me, Father, in mighty and great ways, not to lift me up, but that I can lift up that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And we ask this in his sweet name, that name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. All right, all. Remember, God willing, we can all be together come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, have a great night. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night now.